Get ready. You're about to enter the Remzo Republic.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this awesome program. I know that we typically stick to our regular Wednesday-Saturday format, but I want to go ahead and thank you for tuning in. Usually, when we go ahead and break an episode in the middle of the week, we want to make sure that it's something that is definitely worth your attention. And we have a really interesting 20 minutes with you about something that is really going to really get you interested in this. If you're a libertarian, especially, whether you're a minarchist, anarchist, whatever special name you want to go ahead and throw out there, this is something that you really want to get involved with because it's ideas in action. It's thought put into reality. It's reality changing the future right now. And I'm so glad that, you know, I get to talk to you about this, but I want to go ahead and introduce someone that's going to be asking a couple questions with me. You know her from the Leading Liberty podcast, ladies and gentlemen, Jen Gray.
Hey, Remzo, thanks so much for having me join you for this special interview. Thrilled to be here.
Not a problem at all. So, ladies and gentlemen, when I met this gentleman the other day over the phone, I asked him, what do I call you? Do I call you by your first name or do I call you Mr. President? And I have to say he's by far the most polite foreign dignitary I've had the opportunity to speak with. Ladies and gentlemen, Veet, the president of Liberland. Sir, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Great to be here. Great to be here. And thank you for already, you know, mentioning Liberland on your website.
I greatly appreciate it. When I saw that Miss Liberland was participating at a freedom-oriented beauty pageant, I was just like, okay, those are two things that I typically just don't hear. So there are a lot of people, like we're at Freedom Fest right now, there are a lot of people just walking through the hallways. They know you. They love you. They love what you're doing. But, you know, there are a lot of Americans out there. When I say Liberland, they're going to be like, is that part of Disney? So for those at home that are really trying to, you know, understand what Liberland is, if you could, like, you know, break it down for us, what have you done? Because from the way I see it, you went into no man's land between two very hostile countries and you said, right here, I'm going to plant a flag and start a country.
Well, this is what we did. And we did that in a way that most of the world media covered it. We did it in a territory which was unclaimed by both countries for more than 25 years. And of course, it's not mainly about this piece of land. It's about the ideas that we are pushing forward. And those ideas are the ideas of liberty, of free markets, of very low regulation, and putting all these ideas that libertarians have been talking about for a long time in reality.
Now, what was the breaking point for you where you decided, all right, that's it, I'm done, we're out, we're starting our own country?
There are many breaking points, I can tell you, actually. Also, when the Czech president got elected, I was thinking, okay, now anybody can be a president when I saw the guy. But
I mean, we elected the guy from The Apprentice.
Let's give him some credit for lowering some regulation here in the U.S. I think he will be at least able to stabilize it for some time, which is wonderful. And also, we've got a new finance minister. This guy was the guy that was collecting most subsidies from EU and from state budgets into his oligarchic group. And people then actually not only have given him this money through the state budget, but also they have given him more votes. And that kind of, you know, really put me down in a sense that I was like, you know, this guy is a former secret service of the communist regime. He basically built his private mansion out of EU subsidies. And people don't give a damn. And they even elect him. They give him enough power to become the finance minister. And of course, now he's introducing all the most crappy ideas that you can imagine. Every single transaction in Czech Republic is now registered. The second you make the purchase, the second he knows. And of course, how he does he use it? In advantage for his businesses. He's got a lot of businesses that are getting subsidies, but now he knows everything about his competitors. It's amazing what is happening now in Czech Republic.
That's phenomenal. And you know, just when you look at the idea of a libertarian country, what you're doing is you're trying to really establish a country that respects the individual rights of your citizens. Now, you know, you brought up the fact that now the government has the ability to look at all the transactions of its citizens. What makes Liberland different? Because you guys don't have a central bank. You guys don't really have a set currency. I know from what I've seen, you guys are looking into blockchain technology of Bitcoin. How are you going to be able to finance things? Because you can't have a country without money.
Oh, of course, that's important part of the show. But we are very well financed in a sense that we can basically do whatever we need to accomplish. We've got enough sponsors and supporters that whenever we have some goal, we can achieve it. That's not a big issue. But of course, the system that we are bringing in is completely revolutionary. We have combined the best elements of direct democracy, American Revolution, and corporate style management, and we picked up the best parts of that. I believe that we've got one of the best constitution that is on this planet. We are still working on it. So it will be a corporation, basically, run by the people that have built the country, that have contributed most to it, which will be in check by the majority of the society. So nobody can say, you know, you are not democratic, because we have got this democratic element. Just that the majority won't be able to make decisions. They'll be able to veto the decisions by the shareholders of Liberland. So that's a slightly different concept, but I believe that will work much better than a typical democracy. It just inevitably leads to more socialism, because majority simply tends to vote themselves more and more favors.
Fascinating. So tell me about your constitution. From what I understand, you've got a living constitution. Tell us about what that means and how that's different from what we've got here in the United States.
Well, again, we are looking into and we are learning from all the failures of U.S. Constitution. So our constitution was written by Kacper Zajac very shortly after Liberland was formed, and it already had all the elements where they basically named all the bad things that happened to U.S. Constitution. We have banned the state to take care of anything apart of security, justice, and diplomacy. Just the three basic minarchist things. That was the start for us. But we are looking even further. We are looking beyond this. We're looking how to introduce Uber-style police. We're looking into introducing our arbitration mobile application and have our diplomats running around, and also you will be able to contact them just like you call Uber, making the government business and affairs quite efficient and also widespread. So, you know, maybe it happens to you that someday you will be able to call a Liberland police here in Las Vegas, and maybe you will be relying on it in a better and faster way than you do with the local police. I don't know, maybe that's the future, but the matter of the fact is that we are already testing this approach, and it is happening. We want to Uberize the basic state services.
That's remarkable. Now, I'm just kind of rewinding, well, more like pivoting in a second. Just from walking around today, so many Americans are supporting what you guys are doing right now. What do you think is something about the American people that, you know, you might not see elsewhere? Because we've always been a very revolutionary people. We've been very, you know, progressive, not in the progressive sense, but we're the people that are always pushing for these ideas. We fail sometimes, but I mean, what I've seen is that there's a genuine love from the American people towards Liberland. Where do you think that connection lies?
Of course, because they are the similar founding principles, and of course, because America has turned very far away from the ideas of its founding fathers. I mean, just when we were talking about how many regulation does it take to open up brewery, that you have to wait 2 years for approval from the federal state just to open it. And they would never get it open if they didn't have somebody, a friend, who would go there to somebody who was really in charge and then push it through. So many taxes on everything, right? Everything that you can think of is taxed now in this society. It's crazy. And some of the taxes are more expensive to collect than they collecting. It is a kind of insane situation, which, you know, no matter what we say, luckily, United States is still among the freer part of the world, and the prosperity is still on the very high degree. But the amount of destruction which was introduced through high taxation, through high regulation, is enormous. And I was just speaking at ALEC, and one of my first points was that if America stalled the amount of regulation in 1980s, you would have another economy of and the size of Germany created. You know, the regulations which were introduced after 1980s have destructed the economy of a size of Germany today. You know, the size of basically of California and Texas combined. And it is just the regulations that were introduced after 1980s. So it is very important to talk about these things, because you've got this invisible destruction in the society happening.
So tell us about your vision for Liberland in the next 5 to 10 years. I mean, is this something that you want to grow, or is there a maximum number of citizens that you're going to be able to accommodate? What does that look like?
No, we would really like to have a very successful and widespread e-residency program. Estonia, for example, has collected something like 14,000 people. We would like to have a couple hundred thousand, maybe millions in five years. We would like to have a very good infrastructure for Liberland businesses, for Liberland registration of vehicles, Liberland registration of boats. We would like to have a functioning banking / cryptocurrency world ecosystem. We would like to also have insurance business growing in Liberland. We are happy that we've got so many people from that business that are heavyweights. I just met with Rick Holson, our representative in Bermuda, who's got an insurance company. And I would like to really attract also the insurance companies in Liberland, because it's one of the basic things, right? It's kind of funny that when you have a jurisdiction, you register property and you need to insure that property. And then you're kind of sad, because that is what is country, right? It's a group of people that believe in the same governance model, that want to live in the same jurisdiction, that register their property with same one arbiter, basically, and that really want to be a nation. And again, you know, there are all these different definitions what a nation is, and again, I believe the best one is that it's the people that agree on the way they want to govern their society, not that they have one language, one creed, or something like that.
I'm on more of the conservative end of things, and you know, I think it's good that we were just discussing immigration, how many people you want to your country. But you know, in terms of what I believe you cannot have a country without borders. And I understand that there's currently an immigration problem with your two neighbors that are fighting over the current territory. I mean, to you know, have
they're not fighting over. Let me just correct that. You know, Serbia said they don't mind creation of Liberland, and Croatia says Liberland is Serbia. So that's the situation that we've got right now. They say that you know, this is the territory cannot be claimed by a third party, but this is a good, because they already recognize we are a third party, and when a state talks about third party, they basically recognize us as a state, right? This is just a matter of the fact that the foreign ministry or the diplomatic corps of Croatia already bother about us and talk about us as a country is a great step forward. And again, the great situation is that if any time in the future, if Croatia claimed this piece of land, they would lose the border dispute with Serbia, which gives us a fairly strong position, because we're actually on the side of Croatia. We won the borders as Croatians won it. So there is no basically dispute with them as well. We have defined our borders, so we are not infringing upon borders of either Serbia and Croatia. The situation on the ground is that we have been able to visit Liberland now a couple of times without any incident, which is a great change after two years. We are now exploring how much that is actually a stable situation, or how much that was just an occasion. I took already a documentary team to Liberland, and we are planning to start rebuilding the building that we've got there. And that's the only thing that we need. We need Croatians to stop our Serbian Liberland border. We need them just to protect the Liberland-Croatian border, and this is what seems to be happening right now.
Love it. So what would you say to people who suggest that running government essentially as a corporation is kind of a breeding ground for corruption?
No. The thing is that you put the incentives in line. You know, the crazy thing about democracy is that people get elected and they have zero interest in the country being prosperous or in the country not being corrupted. But if you are actually an owner of the peace of the country, then your incentives are in alignment. You're not going to screw your country, because you would be screwing yourself. And this is a big difference. You know, this kind of alignment of interest, I think, is a very important thing and a revolutionary step. But of course, we are not the first one. Singapore was starting in a kind of corporate way, Panama also, Hong Kong. So there are some experiences with that. And of course, I'm talking about the most prosperous places on this planet.
That's remarkable. So, sir, we have to start wrapping things up, because you've got a busy day ahead of you. Just to kind of, you know, show where things are going, because you talked about where do you see the future of Liberland being, you know, 5-10 years from now? What are the immediate challenges that you're facing right now? because you've come across so many obstacles in the past that you've been able to surpass. What are the immediate challenges?
Well, the great thing about us meeting obstacles is that whenever we have an obstacle, we take it and we make it as a building block and start building on the top of it. So it's very hard to give us any obstacles on the way. It's also very interesting with this recognition process. It's very hard to fight Liberland, because whenever somebody starts to fight Liberland, they're recognizing it as an entity, right? So, and they want to fight it in order not to recognize it, which is kind of hard for them to do. So I don't believe we have any immediate obstacles. We need more people to help us with our legal system. We need more people on the ground. We need more investors to help us finance stuff that would be great to do locally. We're building small city on water, so people are already coming, and we're having a set of marriages. You know, that's something that we are now focused on, that people can come and have some kind of social event in Liberland and get married in Liberland. I think will be a popular one.
I can see your tourist industry going like sky high at this point. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I think we're already attracting more interest into the area than Serbia and Croatia tourist ministry combined. You know, that's the, with all the subsidies, we are doing a good job. And this is, you know, it's going to always be a kind of a mecca for libertarians. I think we've got 500,000 people that at least want to visit it, the guys that have signed up for citizenship. By the way, it's an easy process. It just takes 5 minutes to sign up, and you know, it doesn't cost anything to sign up for citizenship. It doesn't mean that you will get it, but it gets you on the track of being a citizen of Liberland.
Wow, that's phenomenal. So, sir, we've got to wrap things up. For people that want to learn more about Liberland, for people that want to get involved in helping your young country grow and everything else, how could they do so? What's your message to those people?
Well, it's very easy. Just follow us on the social media and get signed up for the citizenship. You will get newsletter once in a month. You will get the news, and you will get the information how to help Liberland grow. And of course, not only that, you are going to get a lot of interesting information that are on the edge of the technology of libertarian ideas, blockchain technologies, and all of these things. We're really working to combine the best minds in the industry to work on the future vision, how the government should work.
Remarkable. Sir, thank you so much for joining Jen and I today. We do greatly appreciate your time.
And thank you very much, Jen.
Stay up to date with the latest news and updates by visiting RemzoRepublic.com.